Welcome back to the DNA Pest Control Podcast. The last, one of the last, and he doesn't even know it yet.
That's true. Save the best for last.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
NPMM.
Yes, I'm excited for it. We didn't get to touch on it too in depth, but it sounds like he's pretty close to home.
Yeah, that's right. We're doing the intro. A lot of the same neighborhoods that we were just talking about that we're here.
Exactly. Yeah. So who is it today?
So today we have Lamar on the show. What's really cool is he has about 5.5 years, 6 years experience in the industry. He'll kind of go into how he came into the industry, how he left, and how he's looking to get back in. He has aspirations of starting his own business, so we're really looking forward to that. Lamar, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Awesome. Hey, man, thank you so much for taking time out of your Saturday to come on the show. We appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, Lamar, you know, Aaron usually asks it. I guess I jumped the gun, but how did you get into the industry originally, you know, the handful of years ago?
I had, back in 2014, moved to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And I was working night shift at Sam's Club. Got tired of it. I knew a guy who worked for Ecolab. He was high up there. He got me an interview. Started off on nights, ran a bunch of accounts, and worked my way to the day shift. So I've been in apartments, I've been in movie theaters, stores, hotels, and ran with it ever since.
Okay. And then from there, you tell us a little bit. I know we were talking about it, so you're going to have to kind of repeat your story a little bit. But what happened from there to now?
So I went through nights, stayed on nights 2.5 years, finished out everything else on days. I wanted to move into management, either being over some guys or going into sales. You know, like any other big company, when a company's that big, you know, you're just a number. So I got strung along for a while, got sick of it, mm-hmm. went back to construction, and took some time to think about things. A couple of years later, you know, came to the realization that I did like it, but I want to run it my own way. So now, this weekend, actually going to buy my pre-operators test for the branch 2 and, you know, start going through with that.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's awesome. And you know, you kind of jumped from pest control into construction because of everything that kind of happened. What's the main factor of coming back into pest control?
I do like the industry. I like the technician side, but I would like to get into it and maneuver my way around somehow to where there's solely a basis just for like teaching people about it.
Oh, okay.
Because like I told you guys earlier, I didn't think it was a trade back in construction. You know, anything can be a trade. If you do it long enough, anything can be a trade. Yes. So, yep. And not a lot of people have the background knowledge of pest control. I didn't know anything before I got into it. Mm-hmm. I used to see the guy when I worked at KFC through high school come and change fly lights. So fast forward years later, I'm doing the same thing. So I would really like to teach people about it.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's actually a really kind of good thing. I mean, that's kind of what we do and what we're trying to do, you know, with the podcast and everything is get that information out there and, you know, let people, you know, really take the information we provide and run with it, you know, learn more. So that's awesome. Yeah. And in your experience with, you know, running night shift, running routes, I mean, you did a lot of commercial stuff. You know, what did that kind of train you to do? I mean, what did you learn during, you know, those? Because a lot of guys that come on, it's just residential routes. I mean, it's not really the commercial side. You know, so what's your perspective on that side of things, you know, running the commercial route?
It can be a beast. I mean, it just depends on where you go. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, as you guys know, if you're dealing with a chain of hotels, I don't care if it's high end or low end, you're going to run into all the same problems. It teaches you that where you go, whether you talk to the guy who's in charge or the guy at the bottom, nobody cares until the red flag gets sent all the way to the top from a very detailed report. Mm-hmm. I've talked to owners, I've talked to CEOs, whatever. Nobody cares until it's on paper and it says Tom Jones said he would fix his door sweep 2 months ago so rats would stop running underneath, and he still hasn't done it. So once that shoots to the top, it taught me that nobody cares until something's on paper.
Okay. Until there's evidence, no one really is looking at it. No, you know, I've seen that too, though, is I've gone, we do restaurants and stuff, and we have a few night runs that we're doing, and you know what? It doesn't matter how many, I mean, even sometimes it's pictures and stuff that it doesn't even matter almost, even when it comes to paper, it's when the health inspector shows up and they shut them down, then it's like, wait a minute, whoa, what happened? And it's, hey, we've been trying to tell you guys for months. you don't care, obviously. Yeah. Now you're shut down. Now do you care?
Yep.
So very interesting. But yeah, that is good. I mean, it is a very big difference because you're dealing on, you know, it's a business side of things, a commercial side of things. That's money. They can't afford to be shut down. They can't afford to have people seeing rodents running around, cockroaches running around. So you have to be on it. Is there a lot more pressure?
There is a lot more pressure. The bigger the customer, the bigger the name, the brand, the more pressure it is. Because if you can't figure it out, here comes your district manager. If your district manager can't figure it out, here comes somebody flying in from who knows where. And if they find the problem, that's embarrassing.
Oh, really? So they'll even go up higher and send people in from other areas.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's no joke.
Hey, that's good though, because you know, but you have to, I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're that large, you're taking on chains. I mean, nationwide. I mean, you have to, you got to protect that. So, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And Lamar, did you have any questions for us before we ask you a few more questions?
So what made you guys want to start the podcast?
Oh, okay. Well, I'll cut that question up. I'll answer that. And then I'm going to ask one to Aaron is what made him want to jump on the podcast, because he's not the original that we started and everything. So, why I wanted to start the podcast. Well, so we'll back it up. So the original guy actually wanted to start the podcast. I told him, because his main purpose and his main focus was actually money. That was the whole reason, was we could make a ton of money. And I told him, I don't care about the money side of it, because I went through the experience of not being taught what to do out in the field. It was, you have to be a route tech, you have to run a route, you got to go do it. That's what it was, right? There was no information. There was very little that I could do, you know, research-wise. Even if you do the magazines, you go NPMA, you go all of that, it doesn't teach you how to be a technician. You want to go read a 500 or 1,000 page book of how to run a route, you know, but that's so generalized because it's over 50 states. That doesn't tell me how to be a technician here in California. That's just telling me generally this is what you need to do, and this is good practice, this is bad practice. But it also comes back, well, that's in a book. That's not for the company that I'm at or where I want to go or anything like that. So once he came back with some of the ideas, my main thing was, okay, we're running this thing, but we're running it different. We're going to be a focal point of information to give back to guys about what the industry looks like, about what's going on in the industry, really putting out that information, training guys, teaching guys how to be the best. Because that's another big thing that I saw that was wrong with the industry. You get a lot of technicians in, and I've said it multiple times on the podcast, I'm against it, but technicians come in and they're really underpaid in a lot of scenarios, and we have to, because we get guys who start companies and then they charge $40, $30, $20 for services, and it's, you can't thrive on that. And so you start choking the guys that are actually charging what they should. And so you have to kind of fight for that money, but you're fighting really an uphill battle that you can't win because so many people start doing that. So we wanted to come out. I wanted to come out and bring information back to the people, back to pest control technicians, and in hopes that we can make technicians better than what I've seen, because there's a lot of guys that aren't good. There's a lot of guys that are pretty bad in the industry. And almost everybody who's came and gone through here, at least, you know, with us, aren't the cream of the crop, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as bad as that is to say, and if they listen, it is what it is, but there's been a lot of flaws because they're not willing to put in the time and the effort and learn and grow. And so it is kind of difficult, but the original reason was I wanted to give back to technicians. I wanted to give them what I know and what I had to learn, because somebody else wouldn't do that for me. They wouldn't help me. They wouldn't teach me. They wouldn't tell me, hey, in this service, this is what you need to do. This is why. It was very vague. It was just kind of figure it out. And I hated that. And so I wanted to change that and put it back out there. Aaron, why did you want to jump on?
I want to jump on at first because it looked fun. Like, I just, having the idea of just doing a podcast in general was like so different to me. And, you know, I jumped on maybe, what is it, 8 months in the pest control industry. So, I mean, even now I'm still, don't really know anything. At least that's how I try to look at things, because I'm always trying to learn, you know. So it's really cool when you get to talk to some of the manufacturers, some of the chemical companies, other technicians, different states, different countries. And, you know, when you're hearing some of these stories and experiences, some of it's like way out of left field. Some of it's like, dude, this guy's like halfway across the world and he's dealing with the same stuff we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, so being able to kind of brainstorm and navigate and just like networking with other technicians and other, you know, operators too, because that was something that I had a hard time with, you know. And I realized the more that I share and connect with people in the industry, the better everybody gets. So it kind of just keeps the ball rolling, keeps me inspired to keep coming back and doing it. So
nice.
Yeah. I hope that answered your question.
No, it did. It did.
Okay. Awesome. And any other questions you wanted to ask?
So how big do you guys want to grow your company?
As big as we can. You know, I mean, that's been kind of the commonality, you know, between me and Aaron as he kind of stepped in and really started to help pushing. You know, it was, there isn't really a cap. You know, I mean, we want to push as much as we can and we want to grow as much as we can. That's really the end goal. You know, we have very similar goals of what we want to see our life to look like in the next few years. And that's really that focal point of what we want to do, and growth is how we're going to do it. And so we want to push it that direction so we can start creating more freedom for ourselves. Cause I think that's ultimately what everybody wants, you know, is time. Money of course comes with it, but you can have all the money in the world, but if you can't use it, then who cares?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. You don't have the time to use it. You're just so consumed in that. And, you know, that's kind of where we sit, is we want to grow it as much as we need to and as much as we can to get to that point where time is really available, you know, and we have more time. You know, the money will come, but that's really the big point. So hopefully as big as we can.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. You know, and so, and for you, I mean, looking into starting your business and jumping in that, you know, which I tip my hat to anybody who's going to do that. It is a lot of work. So be prepared, you know, to put in that time and get ready not to take a vacation for a really long time.
And see that side I know, because from starting your guys' podcast, I started from the beginning. I listened all the way up and I heard episodes where you said, don't start the business. And then you had that hour long episode where you broke it down and said, okay, this is why I say don't start the business. If you're not prepared to do the hard work, you know, no vacations, no this, no that. That I'm going into it already knowing. So
good.
With that, I believe it's a mindset thing.
Yeah.
If your mindset is there, you keep yourself pushing and hang around those type of people that will help you get there. You know what I mean? So, Yeah, I know that. I mean, I get up at 4 a.m. every day and go do construction, so I'm not opposed to not taking a vacation or anything. So I know what I'm jumping into. But that episode, I really appreciated that, because you finally, in that episode, broke it down. I was like, why does he keep saying no? But you explained it perfectly in that episode.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, as I did say no a lot and I didn't explain it right. I didn't say exactly why not to do it. And that's what people don't realize is they get into it without the, you know, they don't understand what they're stepping into. It's, I ran a route. Yeah, I know you ran a route. You didn't sit behind the desk though. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of guys that I've interviewed, you know, for management and things like that. And they're like, oh, how do you like it behind the desk? I bet it sucks, huh? And it's like, well, you think you want to start your own company, but you can't sit behind a desk?
Yeah.
It's going to be a pretty rough time in the future. I mean, unless you find someone who's going to sit behind the desk and you can keep running a route, you know, you can do that. But now you're starting to, you know, you're giving that power to that person who's going to control your day. And a lot of guys can't handle that because they want to be the boss. They have to be the boss. They have to be the guy who decides every little thing. And that's where it gets really difficult is so many companies don't grow past that because they can't let that go. That's something that I'm trying to let go. I mean, on a daily basis, I hope. I mean, I hope Aaron feels it a little bit where I'm like, I don't want to make that decision. I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to do that. I want you to do that. I want you to have that ownership. I want you to take that on. You know, I can do it. I know I can do it. I don't want to, though. I would rather have Aaron coming into me saying, hey, you need to do this. You need to do that. You need to do that. You need to do that. And I'd be like, okay, cool. Let me go do it. I'll go get it done. You know, but that's where it gets so difficult for so many guys that it they don't realize that, especially as you start to grow. Because you are going to be the tech, right? You're the tech. You're the owner. You're the salesman. You're the office staff. You're the collections. You're over customer retention. You're literally everything. And the one thing that I did see, it wasn't directed towards me, but the best advice I actually finally heard and not very long ago was be prepared to constantly fire. And it's not fire people. It's firing yourself. So you have to constantly fire yourself as you start to grow of I'm no longer in that position. I'm now fired from that position and that person is taking it over. I'm done. And you have to step back. And now it's next position. I'm fired. I'm done. I have to, I am now fired from that position. That person now took it. And that is another very difficult thing, even for me. But I think for so many that they can't understand is I can't be a route tech anymore. I'm fired. Like that's no more, but that's what I loved. Or I can't do this. That's what I loved. And it's so difficult. You know, but you'll start to see those hurdles as you start growing and you start, you know, getting it, the test, the everything, you know, which is, it's a fun journey. You're going to learn so much over the next couple of months. While you're going in those courses and taking that. Actually, Aaron's going to be taking that course as well.
Nice.
So you're going to learn a ton, but be prepared for those changes to come. You're not going to be in that tech, you know, in that vehicle forever, you know. So don't go buy the big lifted truck, big tires, nice rims. Throw that crap in the garbage right now. I see it. So many guys go and get their dream vehicle, and it's like, you're not trying to grow a business. You're not trying to run a business because that's not your truck. That's never your truck. Yeah. You know, we got a handful of trucks. It's never my truck. I'm driving the crappy truck sometimes, you know, and that's just what it is. And it's okay. I don't mind it at all, but be prepared for those little things that nobody thinks, you know, they're going and getting the biggest truck, the diesel, everything. And it's like, oh boy, that's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was long-winded, but...
Yeah, no, you're fine, you're fine.
Yeah, yeah. But was there anything else?
Will you guys, and I sent it to your Instagram, but will you guys have an episode just on teaching guys how to get their branch to or what study material to use? Because there's a lot of pest control podcasts and YouTube pages out there, but there's nothing specifically to... These are the steps you need to take either to become a route technician or to become an operator.
Ooh.
I think it's a great episode idea. I mean, I know we've kind of touched a little bit on some of the initial stuff and what resources to look for, but actually breaking it down, the processes for each one. Applicator and branch two, that's something that we can absolutely put out. And I think in the next couple months, as I'm getting ready for my operator's tests, I'd love to put out some episodes of that as well, like real time and how that looks like, because my 2 year point, when you can actually take it, is coming up here in May. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
oh no, I think November.
Oh, that's right. It's from when you got licensed, not from when I got hired. So yeah, yeah. I still got a couple months, but still, I think that'd be good for some of the listeners, some of the viewers too. So I'd absolutely love to do that.
Yeah. No, and we will hit on that. You know, that is a good idea. And I did see that message come through. And yes, you know, we absolutely should. We'll go through it. Now, especially with the video platform that we do have, we can throw up the forms. We can go through every little detail, especially with the operator's license, what you're going to go through, right? You already put in the 5.5 years out in the field. So, you know, what your process and your steps and what it's going to look like. I don't know if you already know that path yet. Do you? Do you know what that looks like?
I know as far as coming back, I need to take the pre-operator test, get another live scan. Then that puts me in place to take the actual test again. And after I pass all that, go back to my former company, get a sign off on all my years, mm-hmm. which, you know, that's all my hours allocated, and going about my business.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So you pretty much have it, right? So you're going to go in, you're going to take that test. They have to sign everything. So you'll just send them the information and they have to. If not, you can always go to the Structural Pest Control Board and let them know, hey, they're not signing it by law. They have to. And so then they'll get sent another letter with a time frame. So you'll get that back no matter what. And then from there, yeah, you're all licensed. You're ready to go. You can start your company. And now it's just getting a business license, setting up. Yeah, and maybe that's another good thing, you know, and I can talk about that, is what it looks like to set up a business and a pest control company, because there are a lot of steps, you know, through the IRS, through the state of California, picking your name, what structure you're going to go with, you know, for you, you know, you should, you know, I mean, you choose what you want to, but an LLC is definitely what you want to go for in the beginning. And that's exactly those steps. And we can cover a lot of that stuff. And so we'll throw out a few episodes for you. Especially during this process. So by the time you do get it, hopefully those steps will help you get to the next level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And definitely. Quicker. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And thanks for asking those questions. Anything else before we move on?
No, that was it.
Okay. Awesome. So out in the field, and you worked for Ecolab, which is great. So many people already know who they are because of David Goggins. If they've read the book or listened to him, he went through it. I'm sure that they've now become famous for this stuff because of him. But what was a crazy experience for you out in the field, running a route, doing night stuff at some of these, you know, big restaurants and big commercial buildings?
Man, there's a lot, especially on nights. I had a restaurant in San Joaquin Valley.
Okay.
I'll give you two.
Okay.
I had two. One restaurant, they had the German cockroaches were, it is the worst I ever seen. And when I say they were coming from the ceiling, they were coming from the ceiling. There were so many, they were just pushing each other out. I was there every single Tuesday night. And I would wait for them to leave, and I would grab my eliminator out the back of the truck, fill it up with my Pyrocide, and flush that place. I'd be there from 9 p.m., and I'd stay till – I'd probably stay there till almost 1 a.m.,
flushing
the entire place. I mean, they were coming out of everywhere. And I was surprised they'd never been shut down. Never been – I mean, to the point where I should have wore a Tyvek suit, went home – what was that? That was a – Thursday. Yeah. Woke up Friday, went to go get something to eat. And like I had dead cockroaches in my wallet. And it was that bad. It was that bad.
Oh man. Okay.
Another one, San Joaquin Valley area, another restaurant, get there. And this restaurant, we've been going back and forth for a while now.
Uh-huh.
And they had a very bad rodent issue. Very bad. Went to do my inspection, I was there for a follow-up. So I went to do my inspection. I come to the cook line. I make a left. And there's 7 full-grown rats just playing on the cook line. Running from the counter onto the hot stove. I mean, everywhere. And, you know, you hit the corner, they scat like that. But yeah. there was 7 of them. And it was, it was bad. I've had experiences where I've had rats run across my feet. I've had one run up my leg. Yeah. Some of these places, depending on where you go at night, these places get bad. During the day, I had a hotel. I was doing a bed bug inspection, and the room was clean. I go to flip the mattress, and perfectly right there, there's a spoon, there's a needle, and there's some heroin. I'm like, you guys need to clean the rooms.
That was a vacant room.
This was a vacant room. This is a vacant clean room. This was a vacant clean room, and I have the picture to prove it because I still have the picture till this day.
Oh my gosh! Okay.
My very first restaurant on nights, fresh in the pest control. I didn't know you couldn't service. First of all, I didn't know the restaurant had to be closed because nobody told me. Okay. They just at this time they're running so hard they just needed warm bodies.
Yeah.
Went into a restaurant and it was Valentine's night. I had no idea. I was like, hey, I'm here to do your service. Dude, the general manager went off on me. He's like, you can't be in here. It's Valentine's Day. I got a store a restaurant full of people. I was like, I said, dude, I just started. I didn't know. And I said, just like that. And I just walked out. I said, I'll get them at the end of the month.
Yeah. I'll come back later.
Yeah. I've had a lot of experiences.
There's definitely nights. Yeah, you get some good stuff. That's when all the insects and the rodents come out. So that's what people don't realize is when you start hitting some early morning, late nights, I mean, you get to see some good stuff during the day. Don't get me wrong. You get to see some awesome stuff. But man, night is a whole nother level. The one I think that was probably the grossest was slugs everywhere. I've never seen so many slugs in my life inside a restaurant.
Inside the restaurant.
Inside. It was in Chico. I still remember the restaurant to this day. I know exactly where it is. I'm pretty sure they probably still even have the issue. And it wasn't even like there's plants outside close by. I don't know how they did it. Yeah. And I think they're just reproducing in the drain.
And just pouring out, just all these slugs coming.
We can't get, at least when I was there, I couldn't get a hold of it. Mm-hmm. I was trying everything I possibly could. And we dropped the population down to almost nothing. But at night, they were still coming out. And I mean, they were fat. I mean, they were huge slugs. I mean, literally up the walls.
Oh, my God.
Luckily I didn't step on any. But like as you're walking around, because I never turned on the lights when I was in restaurants. I just had the headlamp on. Mm-hmm. I was lazy that way. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going to turn on the head. If it's just a regular service routine, it's not anything special. I just headlamp. I'm not even turning on the lights. I'm just going. I walked by and I just see, you know, something all shiny on the side because. And I look, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I look up and I'm like, oh my gosh. It's
everywhere.
Oh yeah. I took a bunch of pictures, sent that over to the manager and everything. But yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to clean them up every morning.
Dang.
So yeah. So some pretty fun stuff. Aaron, did you have anything you wanted to ask to Lamar?
No, honestly, I'm actually probably going to be following up with you, you know, over the next couple months. Cause you know, I'm curious to see how that process looks for you. You know, I'm going down that journey. I mean, I got on with an established company, but you know, we're obviously still looking to grow. So Daniel, you know, I talked about getting my, operator's license too, and the benefits that are going to come from that and just how many doors it's going to open. And it's really exciting. And for you too, it's exciting. So, you know, I'm definitely don't have any questions yet, but I will be reaching out to see how everything's going here in a little bit. So,
yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Lamar. And during that process, you know, definitely keep us in the loop of kind of what you're going through, what you're seeing. Feel free to ask us any questions, you know, send in emails. We'll respond back to you to let you know, hey, this is kind of what you got to look out for. This is what you should look into. We do have a really good episode that's going to drop for what equipment. We just talked to a guy from Q Spray, so you'll see that episode come out early May. But he's going to be a good point of contact as well for you as you're looking into acquiring a vehicle, a truck, or whatever you're going to get, and what equipment you need to put on it. he's going to be a good help during that, but you can definitely reach out and let us know, you know, to help you with that process and what that's going to look like and some of the steps through business, that a lot of guys don't know. I actually was talking to a local tech here out in front of, one of our dealers. So Forshaw, they took over Geotech, and I was talking to the guy out front, and yeah, poor guy. He didn't know what he was getting himself into, but he started his business and he's like, I haven't taken vacation for 3 years or 2 years. And I just finally got a weekend. I got a Sunday. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, and he was asking a few questions, but, he very much in the dark of what it looks like and what it's going to be like. And he's kind of still a little jumbled and all over the place, but you know, it's there, and it can, you know, it's a lot easier when you do have someone you can talk to and you can kind of relate back to, because that's a huge thing. We have a guy on the East Coast. I don't know if you saw it with Brian Goldman. He was a guest on this month.
Is that the guy that has like six companies on the East Coast or six divisions?
Yeah. Yep. With the big, blue
big
bug,
big blue bug.
Yes. That was a really, really good episode. Yes.
Yeah. You know, he was, he's one that actually opened my eyes to, you know, talking to other pest control owners and, you know, really sharing some stuff. And he got into it and he opened up to me and I'm like, you're going through that too. Mm-hmm. You got 60 technicians and you're going through that. And so it's really refreshing to hear some of those things that, you know, that he's going through, that we're going through. He's going through it on a very large scale or larger scale. But it's always nice to have that point of contact and understand, hey, you know, share some ideas, you know, what are you doing with your employees? What do you do when it comes to this or when it comes to a vehicle? And, you know, getting that information out and understanding, hey, look, Lamar, you're Lamar. You're going to do your thing. You're going to have your business. You're going to do it your way. We're going to do it our way here. And it's not really, we're in competition. You know, what we do is what we do. And what you do is what you do. We're not going to do what you can do. And you're not going to do what we can do. Simple as that, right? You know, everybody puts their own flavor to it, and that's what it is. So when you open up and you're able to talk about some of those things, it helps a ton and it puts you at ease because now, you know, you're not alone. You know, you're not the only guy that went through that specific thing, right? I mean, there's dozens of us going through the same thing as what you're going through. So it's always nice to have that. But we're here to, you know, help and answer any questions if you do need it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Aaron, anything else before we close?
I think we're good. This has been good.
Okay, awesome. Lamar, anything else you want to add before we end?
I wanted to ask you guys.
Yeah.
What, as far as your leadership roles, mm-hmm. what do you guys listen to and what do you guys read?
Ooh, good question. Good question. We actually had an episode on that a couple months ago. Daniel and I, you know, we've been big on, at least I've been big on reading more because I didn't used to read. And then I got into a leadership role here about a year and a half ago. So I've been doing a lot of, just a couple of them off the top of my head, like the Daily Stoic, mm-hmm. Obstacle is the Way. I just started 10X. Thank you,
Daniel. Oh yeah. That's a good one.
You know, and I'm trying to just absorb as much as I can. I mean, I listen to podcasts as well. I do more of like the mindset podcast, you know, like the, not, I don't want to say like motivational stuff, but more of just like, keeping myself in check, making sure I'm grounded because I can't pour from an empty cup, and a little bit about, you know, obviously we keep the podcast and the business separate, you know, but for the business side, you know, Daniel's owner operator and I'm sort of operations, but we work kind of hand in hand in so many different ways. And, you know, we both believe that like speed of the leader, speed of the team, you know, if we can't show up to the best ability that we can, then, you know, we're doing ourselves and all the guys a disservice. So,
yeah.
What about you? What are some good ones?
Yeah. Some really good ones is, and I wish I don't, my phone's connected and that's what we're recording with. So I don't have my, the power in my hands. But off of the top, 10X is really good. It just gets you into a different mindset. Mm-hmm. One actually Aaron introduced me to is Obstacles Away. That's another great one. There is another one I'm reading. I'll send you a list. I'll actually email you a list.
Yeah,
please. Because there's another one I started reading, which is really good. I don't even remember the name of it. I like literally just started it. So I'll look back and get that. The Lean Startup is a great one. That actually would be really, really good for you. One of the classics, if you have not listened to it or read it, I used to do Audible a ton. So while you're working, you can just throw that in and you can listen to, I mean, hundreds of books so fast. Mm-hmm. But one that is a classic that all the gurus and business guys, if you want to, you heard them now or you see them on Instagram or anything like that, it's, The Richest Man in Babylon. All of those guys pull everything from that book. They'll pull a section from that book, but then they create their entire program from it. So Richest Man in Babylon is, I mean, it's so easy to read and it's like the thinnest book, but it is on point on every level, of what you need to do and what you need to look out for when it comes to business. One that I just told Aaron, to read was, what is it? The manager one.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Phil Knight one.
No. Phil Knight one's a great one too. Yeah. That one's about Nike. That one's always a good one if you are looking into that. It's from the CEO of Intel, or former CEO of Intel, but he talks about managing a team and what he did. And now I'm into the bulk of it right now. And he's giving you specific examples of what to do with certain people and how to handle those situations. And that's a little bit away from you, but as you start to hire those people, that's another great book. And I'll put that in the email as well. But that's really what we're doing. You know, it's for me, it's been a nonstop. I was terrible in school, just to throw that out to everybody. not good at all. I did graduate. Don't worry. But I was terrible in school. I never really focused. College was easy for me. Cause it was just, I finally learned, hey, I just need to focus and I'll be fine. So college was fairly easy. I didn't finish college either. Go figure. once again, school wasn't my thing. But I did understand that continuing my education outside of school was going to not stop ever. And I understood that pretty young, even though I went back into school, you know, college and everything, and then left there. But when I left, it wasn't that I stopped. So I kept looking up books. I kept looking in, you know, you're going into business, so you're going to look into a lot of business books, a lot of self-help books. You know, I've listened to, I can't tell you how many and read. And so I just have a massive list. I actually have a really good friend of mine who will actually share books back and forth. And so he's always throwing me books. I'm always throwing him books. He got me into the Daily Stoic. And then I found out you were doing it too. Mm-hmm. So the Daily Stoic's another good one, Lamar, if you want to jump on that. Stoicism's really an eye opener. It was actually what I kind of was doing my life. And then I realized, oh, okay, well, there's actually a name to it, right? So that's really what I've done. But I'll send you the list. I've said it a million times, but I'll send you the list of all the books. But keep on learning, keep on putting yourself out there, keep on reading. PCT is something that you can get magazines. They'll send them to you for free. You don't even need a business or anything. You don't pay anything.
So with PCT, because I'm always on their website. Actually, I was just on there yesterday. It's funny you say that. Mm-hmm. I tried to sign up to get their literature, but I couldn't. I think you do have to have a business, because it asked me, and maybe I was in the wrong session, but it asked me the name of my business, how long I've been going. I'm like, oh, I can't sign up.
Oh, you know what? I signed up so many years ago. I don't even know. I know that they're at every expo we go to, you know, they have their booth and they have their sign up. I would just make one up.
Yeah. That's what I thought about doing, because I was like, I want the literature, cause I'll read it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's some really good stuff in there. And the PCT magazines, they do throw out some really good stuff, really good information. There's another magazine company too that does it, that's in the pest control realm. They're a lot smaller. I'll look them up. I get magazines from them every once in a while, but you can sign up. I think they have an app too. So you can at least get the digital version and look through those. But those are good points to actually get back in and start to learn and really start to get your feet wet when it comes to pest control. Yeah, because they have all this state of, what do they call it? All the reports that they run on cockroaches, ants.
Oh, yeah.
They have a name for it.
Yeah.
The like statistics.
Yeah, they do statistics, like, but they have their state of something or whatever it is. But there's a lot of information in there that's really good. Mm-hmm. And then if you have any free time to go to any expos or classes like Rodent Academy, Wildlife Expo, Pest World. So Pest World this year is in Denver. So those are all really good places to go and start to really just soak up all the information. So when you hit the ground running, you're doing it correctly. Yeah. And you don't have to go through that learning curve of here's a fine, go figure it out.
Yeah.
So I hope that answered that question.
Yeah, no, it did.
Okay. Awesome, Lamar. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And thanks, for taking time out of your Saturday to join us and really give us kind of your story and some of the awesome stories that you went through, during your pest control career. And we wish you the best out there starting your company.
All right. Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
All right. You as well.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. There we go.
That was cool.
Lamar.
Yeah.
Local.
Very local. Yeah. We didn't really touch on that on the podcast. So Lamar, if you're watching this or listening to this now, we are a little bit north, at least of some of the areas you were naming. I actually live in Oak Grove, but we're based out of Sac. So
yeah, so a little bit north. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it depends on where he's at, but yeah, no, always good. Very interesting, and actually really cool to hear that a guy who was in pest control, who left pest control, is now coming back to pest control.
Yeah, for real.
And even better that he's like, it's not a trade, and then is coming to the realization that actually, this is actually a real thing,
Yeah.
It's real. It's there. Mm-hmm. It is a trade. It is what you can do. So, that's awesome. And it's cool that he's looking at it in a different way. Mm-hmm. I think most people look at it as, it's a job. It's something that you're doing, like a cook, not a restaurant. You're just a cook, you're just that thing, right? You're that person. You're a route tech, you're a technician, but it's pest control in a whole is so much bigger than that.
Absolutely.
So that's really cool that he's looking at it a whole different way.
Yeah. And like I said, Lamar, I'm going to be following up with you because we're going back and forth and I'm actually, so a little side note, I don't know how much we talked about this on the podcast. I'm getting a QAL license, for those of you in California know that is, on top of an operator's license soon. I failed the QAL license, so I am retaking it in the next couple of months. So some of the prep and some of that, the before, during, and what that's going to look like, we're definitely going to put some episodes out there.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so that'll be really good. So thank you, Lamar, for those suggestions. We'll be putting those out there. And thank you for everybody who's been sending in their questions. This has been a great month for NPMM. Had a ton of fun talking to everybody here and all the different technicians and companies, manufacturers, wildlife guys, owners, operators. It's been a lot of fun. So please, if you guys have liked this episode or any of the episodes we've put out, you can go back and listen to all the ones that we reference and talk about because they're still good content. You know what I mean? And if you think you know somebody that can take some value from it, then share it with them or like it. It goes so far. It helps us grow organically. We don't make any money really from doing this. We just do it for fun on the Saturday. We're here in the office. So
yeah,
we have episodes that come out every Monday and Thursday. How you can listen to us, obviously, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We have our YouTube platform up now. Our posts that come out are on Instagram, Facebook, and then our website. So website's also a good place to be a guest or ask questions. But thank you again for listening to the DNA Pest Control Podcast.